"Valerian," said the prefect, "your brother's head is evidently crazed. You, I hope, will be able to give me a sensible reply." "There is only one physician," answered Valerian, "who has deigned to take charge of my brother's head and of mine. He is Christ, the Son of the living God." "Come," said Almachius, "speak with wisdom." "Your ear is false," replied Valerian. "You cannot understand our language." The prefect restrained himself, and refusing to accept the spontaneous confession of Christianity which the true brothers were eager to make before his tribunal, he endeavored to defend the pagan sensualism to which the Caesars were indebted for the passive submission of their people. However, Valerian countered all his attempts to persuade him from the true Christian faith. "You have treated us as fools," replied Valerian, "because we bestow our riches upon the poor, receive strangers with hospitalities, succor widows and orphans, and give the bodies of martyrs honorable burial. According to your doctrine, our folly consists in refusing to indulge in voluptuous pleasures and in disdaining to avail ourselves of the prerogatives of our birth. A time will come when you shall reap the fruit of our privations. We shall then rejoice, but those who now revel in enjoyment will weep. The present time is given us to sow seed. Now, those who sow in joy in this life will reap sighs and tears in the next, whilst those who in this life sow fleeting tears shall reap in the future an abundant harvest of endless happiness." The prefect was at a loss. His designs were falling apart. Two patricians had appeared at his bar, and through his imprudence had given vent to expressions insulting to the imperial dignity. Moreover, the two brothers had solemnly professed Christianity in the very sanctuary of the law. Almachius hoped to extricate himself from this difficult situation by making to them a proposition which, should they accept it, would justify him in releasing them without delay. He therefore said, "Enough of these long and useless discourses. Offer libations to the gods, and you shall retire without undergoing any punishment." There was no question either of burning incense to the idols, or of taking part in a sacrifice. A simple libation, scarcely perceptible to those present, would release the two brothers and shield the magistrate's dignity. Valerian and Tiburtius replied in the same breath, "Every day we offer sacrifice to God, but not to idols." "To what god," inquired the prefect, "do you pay homage?" "Is there then any other," answered the brothers, "that you should ask such a question in regard to God? Is there more than one? But at least tell me the name of this one God of whom you speak." "The name of God neither you nor any mortal can discover, even had you wings and could mount to the highest clouds." "Jupiter, then, is not the name of a god." "You are mistaken, Almachius," said Valerian. "Jupiter is the name of a corrupter, a libertine. Your own authors represent him as a homicide, a man guilty of every vice, and you dare call him a god? I am astonished at your audacity, for the name of God can only belong to a being who has nothing in common with sin, and who possesses every virtue." "And so," replied Almachius, "the entire universe is in error, and you and your brother alone know the true God." Valerian replied, "Do not deceive yourself, Almachius. The Christians, followers of this holy doctrine, are already innumerable in the empire. You pagans will soon form the minority. You are like the planks which float upon the sea after a shipwreck, and which have no other destination than to be burned." Almachius, irritated at Valerian's generous boldness, ordered him to be scourged with rods. He still hesitated to condemn him to death. The lictors immediately stripped the young man, who expressed his joy at suffering for the name of Christ, by these courageous words, "The happy moment has at last arrived for which I have so ardently longed. This day is more delightful to me than all the festivals of this world." During the infliction of the cruel punishment, a herald made the following proclamation, "Beware of blaspheming the god and goddesses." Meanwhile, in clear and powerful tones that were distinctly heard amid the noise occasioned by the strokes of the whip, Valerian addressed the multitude. "Citizens of Rome," he cried, Let not the view of these torments prevent you from confessing the truth. Be firm in your faith. Believe in the Lord, who alone is holy. Destroy the gods of wood and stone to which Almachius burns his incense. Crush them into dust, and know that they who adore them will be eternally tormented." Almachius then turned to one of his counselors, who settled his doubt about what to do about the two brothers. "Condemn them to death. The occasion is a favorable one. If you delay, they will continue to distribute their riches to the poor, and when they shall finally suffer capital punishment, there will be nothing left for you to confiscate." Almachius understood this language. He was personally interested in confiscated property, and therefore resolved that his prey should not escape. The two brothers were again brought before him. Valerian, his body mangled by the whips, and Tiburtius, piously jealous that his brother had been preferred to him in the honor of suffering for Christ. The sentence was immediately pronounced. The two brothers were to be conducted to the Pagus Tropius on the Appian Way, near the fourth milestone. At the end of the route, there was a temple of Jupiter which served as an entrance to the Pagus. Here Valerian and Tiburtius were to be invited to burn incense before the idols, and in case of their refusal, were to be beheaded.